Pray about anything, about everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell. Therefore the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister'? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Verses 1 through 20, all of Genesis chapter 12. Father, we thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the wisdom, the grace, the power that rests in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truths and insights you teach us as we simply spend time reading and meditating on your word. Father, we thank you for the nation of Israel. We thank you for the people, the Jewish people that you've placed in the world. And thank you for the unique call and anointing upon their lives. Father, more and more help us as the church to pray for and to be supportive of your people as you've called us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we come to you today rejoicing because your word tells us that we have been bought with a price, your precious Son dying on the cross for us. Father, we want to respond to that by glorifying you with our bodies, with the things that we do, the things we say, with our attitudes. And we need your strength to do that, Father. It's our heart's desire, Father. You've given us that desire, and we ask you to give us strength and that your Spirit would lead us ahead today in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I'd like to remind our listeners once again, we are underway with the new part of our Ten Commandments project, specifically the Pro-Life Speech Contest. And we appreciate those that have responded already, and we're looking for many more to respond as well. If you have a child or grandchild or a young person that you think would like to get involved, we'd like to hear from you. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Simply email me to get more information about this pro-life speech contest, which is a part of the Ten Commandments Project. We'd be glad to send it to you. We're hoping to have many more participants than we had in the last speech project, which, again, I think we ended up with somewhere around maybe 31 or so young people with wonderful speeches that they shared. So, again, the email jparker@afa.net for more information about the Ten Commandments Project Pro-Life Speech Contest. We hope to hear from you. We are blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today. It's been a little while, but once again, we have Pastor Dumasani Washington. He's the CEO of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. Pastor Washington, how are you today?
Pastor Joseph, it's great being with you today, sir.
All right, great to have you back. And I'm going to ask, probably most of our listeners may or may not remember, it's been a few years since we've had you on, had the privilege of having you on. So if you'll reintroduce yourself and then share more specifically about the work and the mission of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel.
Yes, sir. It's been a good 3 or 4 years or so, Pastor Joseph. So, yes, sir. I am the founder and CEO of IBSI, the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. You can go to the website at ibsi-now.org. It's an organization that I started in 2013, shortly after my first trip to Israel in 2012. I was part of the African-American Pastors Tour with Christians United for Israel. In December of 2012, and there, while at the Western Wall, the short version of the story is God placed it on my heart, returned to the States, strengthening the ties between the Black and Jewish community and also the alliance between Israel and Africa, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit on today, and I returned home, wrote a book called Zionism and the Black Church. Actually, it was the first edition. Then the second edition was just released last year. Zionism and the Black Church, Why Standing with Israel Will Be a Defining Issue for Christians of Color in the 21st Century, started this organization. I spoke and toured the country, speaking in synagogues, churches, and colleges, and those types of things about the historic relationship between the Black and Jewish community. Did a lot of scriptural parts of it as well to really understand it or communicate how this relationship began, which it actually began officially, as we say in our organization, with the visit of the Queen of Sheba to King Solomon in Jerusalem 3,000 years ago. This was a, for lack of a better term, it was an Africa-Israel solidarity mission. This was actually something that happened, which we'll unpack that a little bit as well. In doing that, I did it for about a year. And then at some point, our friends at Christians United for Israel asked me to come on and over the diversity outreach of the organization. I did so for almost 7 years, and just this past May, returned to the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel in full time. My son is the executive director. His name is Joshua, but I returned as the CEO and founder, and this is our mission. I am a pastor as well, but even though Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel is not necessarily a religious organization, there is an ethos that's there that we understand that this is a mission that we have to, again, strengthen these ties that are so important now more than ever before. And I want to say this last thing, Pastor Joseph, and I appreciate the opportunity. Though that is our mission, I'm well aware of the fact that the body of Christ is not black, white, or brown. You know that, among many other things, John in the book of Revelation said that when he saw the body, he saw a number that no man could number of every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. Mm-hmm. Our organization and our ministry in no way seeks to, I even mentioned this in my book, Zionism and the Black Church, even in that title, Zionism and the Black Church, we recognize it's not a black church or white church or Hispanic church. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about is an ethos, a legacy. Mm-hmm. A legacy when it comes to, particularly in the United States of America, this black story, if you will, from slavery through Jim Crow, and this reliance on God, this very, very key relationship between a people when it came to trusting him for the emancipation of slavery, all of those things through the civil rights movement, how God preserved the black family, how that began to get dismantled in the 1960s, and some very spiritual, deep spiritual truths that are there. So that's our focus here, is really repairing some of those breaches, particularly when it comes to the Jewish and black community.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, there I guess, so many different sides to this issue of the unique place Israel has in the world and in history, and the unique challenges they've faced as a nation. You know, I'm going to take a moment now specifically to read Psalm 122 and share a thing or two, and then I'm going to ask if you'll respond and just share your thoughts as someone who's working in the very deliberate capacity you're working to be supportive and encouraging of the nation of Israel. Psalm 122, beginning at verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Verses 1 through 9, all of Psalm 122. And, you know, Pastor Washington, I'm going to ask if you'll just further elaborate on this reality that whether people are Christians or not, whether they have Jewish background or not, the reality is Israel has played a unique role in the history of the world for a long time. And even to this day, of all the nations in the world, Israel plays a prominent place in the news. Even though it's a very small country in the world, yet it still places has a unique place. And also, I'm not sure if there's any other nation that has had the history of being persecuted or come against quite like the Jewish people have in the world. Would you begin to elaborate on that? And of course, on the other, the break is coming up in a few moments, in a few minutes. But we'll pick up further and continue that on the other side.
Sure. Yes, sir. So, absolutely. Psalm 122, for all of us who are church goers, I used to call it church babies especially, I've heard that psalm read from the time I was a little baby. And it is one of the many, many reminders of both the spiritual reality and the physical reality of the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. As you even alluded to in Genesis, when God calls Abraham, he calls him out from among the nations and makes a covenant with him and his descendants. And we know that that is ultimately Israel. Abraham, who has Isaac, who then begets Jacob, and then Jacob, his name is changed to Israel, and the 12 tribes, his 12 sons, make up the 12 tribes of Israel. This is a covenant with a people. And when we recognize that God says that I'm going to bless the world through you, right? I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and through you the nations of the earth will be blessed. Well, we as Christians know that that ultimate manifestation is Jesus. Why? Because he comes through the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as well, the line of the tribe of Judah. And through him and belief in him, the world is saved, right? So we recognize that that's the case. But God's covenant with Israel doesn't end. When the church comes into being, God does not then turn to Israel and say, okay, the church is here now, and you are no longer my chosen. You are no longer the apple of my eye. Nowhere in the scripture does God say that. We as believers are grafted in, amen. Mm-hmm. But he does not dismiss Israel. So Israel continues to be God's chosen. Paul even talks about it at great length. It is the seminal work of the book of Romans, where Paul unpacks for us this very complicated reality of the fact. Does he not say that my sincere prayer for Israel is that she be saved? Why, he recognized that many in the Jewish nation have rejected Jesus.
Pastor Washington, I'm going to jump in here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side of the break. Our phone guest today is Pastor Dumasani Washington. He's the CEO of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. We'll be right back.
Close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land, and I am that.
Music of Rich Mullins with Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Dumasani Washington. He's the CEO of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. Pastor Washington, if you'll pick up right there where you left off before the break, please.
Yes, sir. We were talking about Romans, and we were actually kind of dovetailing into Romans 11. Paul talked about the fact that he cried out to God on behalf of his Jewish brothers and sisters who had not accepted Jesus, right? He said, my heart's desire is that they be saved. But he also teaches the church that God had not rejected Israel. He even asked the rhetorical question, has God forsaken Israel? He said, God forbid, right? He talks about this eternal covenant that God has with the Jewish people. So right back to when you're reading Psalm 122, though David wrote it, again, over 3,000 years ago, it is a reminder to those of us in the body that we are to literally, if we get that phrase, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Like God, David is telling us, you and me, not just the Jewish people, but all of us. Why? Because Jerusalem is the holy city. And not only that, he says, I will seek your good. You know, that's a step further than prayer. That's active participation, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to seek the welfare of the city of God. He talks about that. And so the scriptures over and over again bring us into participation. We are not simply casual observers, right? The Bible actually tells us to rejoice. I would ask the listeners to, as you read Psalm 122, consider Psalm 137. There by the rivers of Babylon, we wept. We hung up our harps when we remembered Zion, right? Here are the Jewish captives in captivity, specifically because they've fallen into idolatry, right? Nebuchadnezzar has destroyed the holy city, destroyed the temple, destroyed the walls of the city, and yet God's presence is still with the Jewish people. And what do they say? How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land, right? They said, God, we must continue to lift your song. And they said, if I forget Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. It is a reminder to us as believers that our final destination is Jerusalem, but we're not to be concerned about Jerusalem on the other side of glory. We are to be concerned and to seek the welfare of Jerusalem now, which begins with praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And I'll say this one last thing. David describes the 12 tribes of Israel, the tribes of Israel, taking their place there. He said, where there are set thrones of judgment. He talks about how the Messiah himself will judge the nations from the throne that is Jerusalem. Again, all the nations will converge on Jerusalem. I tell people this all the time. Everybody's going to wind up in Jerusalem or wind up in Israel one way or the other. Either you're saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, or whether you come into the Valley of Jehoshaphat to fight against the enemy, fight against the God's people. And God says he's the one who's going to defend them. So yes, it's a reality, and it continues to loom large for Christians and the world today.
Well, Pastor Washington, would you take a moment now specifically to pray for our listeners and for the church as a whole to really grow, to really better grasp that which God is calling us as the church to do, to be praying for Israel, but also to support Israel and what that really means. Would you pray for that? Yeah.
Absolutely. Father, we bless your name, and we thank you for your word that is our life and our length of days. And we thank you for the writing of the inspired men of God throughout the time who have given us your scriptures. And even as Pastor Joseph was just reading the words of David, who many times spoke of Jerusalem, many times spoke of your holy city, many times spoke of the nations of the earth, the Gentiles even coming. So we want to be obedient to your word and pray for the peace of Yerushalayim. As he said, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, God. And even as Pastor Joseph said, the city, more than any other city that has been destroyed, many other places, a symbol of the Jewish people having been pursued for thousands of years, having those who've risen up against them from generation to generation, as your word says, but you preserve them, that the existence of the nation of Israel is a reminder that you are a covenant-keeping God. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. And then we thank you for, in the fullness of time, sending the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Thank you that our salvation, your word says, comes from Zion, God. So we pray for Zion. We pray for your city. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray, God, that you would continue to bless your people and that we as the church would stand in solidarity and blessing your people as well, knowing that you confer a blessing on those who do so, in Jesus' name.
And Father, I too thank you for the blessed nation of Israel. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to honor you by simply obeying your word, to pray for Jerusalem, to pray for Israel, to support them, and to continually seek to, as you've directed us to share the gospel as well. And Father, raise up more and more believers, raise up more and more Jewish believers in particular, Lord, who receive that call and carry the gospel to your people so that they too can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, flood the nation of Israel with your mercy, grace, peace, Lord. And Father, pour out your healing grace mightily upon the nation. In the midst of all that's going on in our world today, Israel has some unique challenges, but more and more send forth laborers into Israel, and more let your will be done mightily in the midst of them, and pour out your mercy and grace mightily upon the Jewish people all over the world. And guide us as the church in just growing an understanding of all that you're calling us to do to be supportive of these blessed people. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Washington, you know, just a few days ago, the world recognized what is known as Holocaust Remembrance Day. And, you know, would you share why there's even a necessity for such a day as that?
Well, as we said, Pastor Joseph, that unfortunately, because of the fallen nature of man, right, there's been hatred and divisions and strivings and genocides and all those types of things, right? And but what history also lets us know is that no one, like the Hebrew people, we're not so much comparing suffering, we're just saying in terms of the length of time. Mm-hmm. And we say length of time, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about close to 5,000 years, go all the way back to Egypt when the Pharaoh decides that there's too many Hebrews and he begins to try to exterminate them as if they're not even human beings, right?
Right.
This was the first sign of the demonic nature of the hatred for Israel, right? The Pharaoh basically says, let's go deal wisely with them, and he wants to either work them to death or then eventually through the babies in the Nile, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen that as our Jewish brothers and sisters say as they come together in every generation, there's been those who've risen up against us, but the Holy One, blessed be he has preserved us, right? You're talking about a small tribe of people, mm-hmm. and there have been, whether it was the Pharaohs, whether it was the Babylonian Empire, all the way to the modern era of Adolf Hitler, right, who mm-hmm. winds up killing some 6 million Jews, not just there in Europe, but also he had branched out, ladies and gentlemen. He had work camps in Libya, right? He was a pharaoh, of course. Hitler was well aware of the fact that the Jewish people were a worldwide diaspora. He mm-hmm. sat down with the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, who was over there, of course, the head Muslim there in the 1930s and 40s in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. They had a famous meeting. You can Google the picture, 1941. They're sitting in Berlin, and they are talking about what they're going to do with the Jews, not just in Europe, but in North Africa and the Middle East, right? So mm-hmm. why? Why are these men coming together? Well, Psalm says, why do the nations rage so furiously together against the Lord? Why do the kingdoms conspire, right? The other Psalm. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, when men rose up against us, they would have destroyed us. Look at this theme. The mm-hmm. Jewish people for thousands of years crying out, saying they've attacked us, they've vilified us, they've committed genocide against us, but the Holy One has preserved us. Isn't that amazing? They say that even though all these things have happened to us, God has preserved us. So the Holocaust remembrance, everyone, is so that we won't forget. I believe it was Eisenhower was the one, as they liberated the concentration camps, he forced them to take pictures, right? It's amazing because some of those photographers were black soldiers who were part of the liberation of these camps. He had them take pictures, he says, because he doesn't want anyone to forget. He knew that if you just tried to tell people, they would never believe it, right? So they take pictures and show them what happened. So the Holocaust remembrance, Pastor Joseph, is important because it reminds us not just of the hatred that men can have for each other. And of course, as Christians, we know our need for the love of Jesus, right? It also is a reminder that this is what the world has done to the Jewish people for thousands of years. This is nothing new. This is something that continues to happen. And I'll say this one last thing, because I am a pastor too. Like I said, I'll talk too much. You know, I apologize, Pastor. What happens is that when we see the type of hatred for the Jewish people that rose during the time of Nazi Germany, we recognize that of the 6 million Jews that were killed, some 50-plus million people died in that Second World War. Ladies and gentlemen, once Jew hatred is released on the earth, the world, the scriptures are very true. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and through you the nations of the earth will be blessed. When the earth has descended into hatred for Israel, everybody pays for it. The history has been consistent with that. Throughout, when this hatred for Israel rises like it did in the Persian Empire, rises like it did when the Romans against the Jewish people, or rises like it did during the time of the Germans, we see that many, many people pay with their lives.
Well, you know, Pastor Washington, why would you say, and of course I'm just asking for your thoughts on this, there are people, there are those in our culture and in other parts of the world that will try to say, well, the Holocaust never happened. Which again, there's so much to obviously to demonstrate that it really did happen. Why would you say people try to say it just never happened?
Well, I think there's different reasons, Pastor Joseph. But as men of God, let us focus on the spiritual. We know that unfortunately, that deception is a demonic spirit. Right. There is something that the enemy uses to keep things obfuscated from us. Right. He who doesn't want to see truth with why? Because Jesus said, if we know truth, it'll make us free, right? So the enemy knows that lies and deception keep us bound. They keep us ignorant. They keep us repeating mistakes. They keep us broken, right? So because of that, our Jewish friends called the Torah, the scriptures, a Torah of light. It actually is light. That's what David said, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Holocaust denial is one of the ultimate types of ignorance and darkness, if you will, that if I deny that it happened, or even if I just downplay, oh, it wasn't really 6 million, it was actually this many. Well, first of all, any number, whether you're talking about a genocide in Nigeria, which is happening right now, whether you're talking about a genocide in the Congo or Rwanda, any number in which people are being targeted because of their religion or because of their ethnicity is evil, right? And any attempt to downplay it or somehow lessen it is not just offensive to the people who went through it, right? It's also a denial of history. The enemy operates in darkness. So when I start saying, oh, the Hutus and the Tutsis never had a genocide, oh, this is, or with the Jewish people, oh, that never really happened, it not only is it not true, it sets the stage for it to happen again.
And just, again, just in line with what you're sharing, too, when such a horrific thing happens, and then for someone to pretend like, oh, it's not even worth, it didn't really happen, it's such a tragic insult, amongst other things, against the people whom this was perpetuated against, you know. So,
Yes, sir.
Any way you really look at it as well. Well, wanted to ask you this, Pastor Washington, too, you know, something I think that is just a very interesting part of history, and that interesting that there are some nations that are mentioned in Scripture that still exist today, of course, Egypt and Ethiopia as well, of course, obviously Israel, but I don't know of any other nation that has a history quite like Israel's, to where for many, many years they didn't exist as a nation. And then by the grace of God in 1948 is the year, and again, we're almost at the break, but we'll let you begin and pick up on the other side. But the rebirth of a nation that clearly is founded in Scripture as well. Would you share your thoughts on that?
Isaiah, I believe it's 43 or 44. I apologize, but Isaiah says, he asked the rhetorical question, can a nation be born in a day? And it was a rhetorical question because it was God speaking to him, and a resounding yes. May the 14th, 1948, the state of Israel claims independence again for the first time in almost 2,000 years. Ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years going back to the time of the Romans.
Okay, we're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up right there. Our phone guest today is Pastor Dumasani Washington, the CEO of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. We'll be right back. Music of Toby Mac with City on Our Knees. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Dumasani Washington. He's the CEO of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. Father, we thank you once again for this ministry. Thank you for Dr. Washington. Thank you for your hand of grace upon him and the work you've called him to. Thank you for many other ministries that you've raised up that help to support, to pray for, and help to mobilize support for the blessed nation of Israel. Stir us and help us to grow as the church to better understand how important this important work is that you call us as the church to carry out and to be supportive of. Thank you for us as the church, and thank you for us as a nation as well, Lord. Help us as the church and help us as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we're honored to have Pastor Dumasani Washington, again, the CEO of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. Pastor Washington, would you share the website one more time if someone wants to get in touch with you or learn more about the work and the mission of IBSI?
Absolutely. They can go to IBSI-now.org. That stands for the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel, IBSI-now.org. And all of our social media access is there as well. You'll see some of the campaign. We're actually doing a Black History Month campaign that's happening right now. You'll see the video for that as well. And however you could participate, we would love for you to do it. And you'll have information about events that may be coming up. And also on the little website there, you'll see one that says shop. You click on that, it'll take you to the book Zionism in the Black Church. And so you can download it on Kindle. There's different ways that you can go to it. You can buy it in the Barnes & Noble. It's available in both digital and paperback form. And so absolutely. So you go to that website. They can get all the information. Join our emailing list as well if you want to be a part of our newsletter. We send out about twice a week. So that you can be even more informed on the events that we have in different parts of the country and what we are doing, even with our PEACE initiative. PEACE stands for Plan for Education, Advocacy, and Community Engagement, in which we recruit young people across the country to go through a study course, travel to South Africa, travel to Israel, and then return as IBSE ambassadors in their city across the country.
Okay. All right. If you can pick up, though, you were sharing about just the miraculous nature behind just the rebirth of the nation of Israel in 1948. If you'll pick up there once again, please.
Absolutely, sir. So you, our Jewish friends, by and large, they call the redemption, they refer to that as the ingathering of the exiles of the Jewish people from around the world, right? Mm-hmm. And it is a miracle. So you had Israel as a nation that was desolate for almost 2,000 years between the time of 70 AD when the Romans destroyed the temple, and then, of course, in 135 AD when they put down the final Jewish revolt, right? And with the exception of a small remnant of Jewish people still in the land, for nearly 2,000 years, Israel desolate. Now, we understand part of that as Christians in the scriptures because, yes, Jesus prays over Jerusalem, Matthew 23 and 24, and he basically declares that because of the rejection of God's word, the rejection of him, there'll be a time of being desolate, right? You know, you're how Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you under my wings as a hen with her chicks, but you would not. And now your home shall be left desolate. And unfortunately for us as Christians, the destruction of the temple is not in the Bible. It's part of what we call extra-biblical history. In other words, it was Jewish history, but it's not in the scriptures. And I say, unfortunately, Pastor Joseph, because we don't have the fulfillment of that prophetic word, and we don't have a clearly delineated connection to God's other part where he said, I'm going to bring you back, right? He says, I'm going to scatter you, but I'm going to bring you back. And for people of God, it is just as much God. In other words, the ingathering of the exiles, Jews returning to Israel from Africa, from Asia, from Europe, from North and South America, God prophesied that he would do it and that it was him, that it's a miracle, right? This is a sign of God's eternal covenant with Israel and the fact that he's a covenant-keeping God. We tell Christians all the time that we rejoice that he kept his covenant with Israel, which means he's a promise-keeper. Otherwise, he wouldn't keep his promise to us, right? He saved us, right? So that he didn't break his promise with Israel, he hasn't broken his promise to his people, so to the Christians, right? So we recognize that the state of Israel, then, this rebirth, now is it a perfect rebirth? Absolutely not. It's surrounded by enemies still, right? There's all kinds of problems and everything. It's an amazing nation that's doing amazing work around the world, but it's also a secular government that has problems like any other place, right? You have struggles of racism, and you have economic type of woes and everything, but I tell people all the time that does not mean that God did not author it. It just means that as God is doing what he's doing, we as people, Pastor Joseph, I say jokingly to people all the time, God brought us all into the body. The body could be a hot mess because we could be a hot mess, right? That don't mean God didn't bring us in. That just means that it's people. We as Christians are people.
That's
and
right.
Sometimes we say things and do things that are not godly, that aren't fair. But that doesn't mean the church wasn't established by God. It just means that the church is full of people. Well, when I see people judge Israel about its imperfections, I go, wait. How is the church going to be imperfect? And we're going to point to Israel about being imperfect. And so we recognize that God is the one who's doing it. And the word of God says, this is marvelous in our eyes. The Jewish state of Israel is a reminder of God's prophetic word.
Okay. Well, you know, and I think it'd be wise for listeners to recognize that any believer as an individual, obviously any and all of us are wise to pray for Israel as the scripture commands us to do. And also we're wise to be supportive of ministries that love and support the nation of Israel as well. And that's, of course, that's a good research project to find out ministries like the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel and many others. You mentioned CUFI and others that love Israel, support them, and help them as well. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, Pastor Joseph. And we need your support. We need your prayer support. We need your, there are others, like you said, CUFI is one. We are still, I'm not on staff anymore, but still members. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, our friend Bishop Paul Lanier is over the board of that organization. It was formerly led by Rabbi Eckstein, who passed away about over a year ago. His daughter, now Yael, is over it. It's a strong coalition of Jews and Christians coming together to strengthen Israel. So there are many of those. I would encourage the body, pray for them. Most of them are nonprofit organizations where you can actually get tax write-offs for donating to them. We need your prayer support. We need your financial gifts, if God lays that on your heart, to do the work. And I'll say this thing, our focus is more of a geopolitical focus, but please, ladies and gentlemen, understand that this is something God placed on our hearts. This, for example, Israel's relationship with Africa is so strategic for so many in the region, counterterrorism and better economic opportunities and all of those things, which go back to that Solomon Sheba thing, right? So we work in all of those different fields, recognizing that God is the one who's leading us in those directions.
That's right. That's right. Would you define for our listeners, though, the term Zionism, exactly what does Zionism mean?
Zionism is a huge term, but ladies and gentlemen, more easily distilled, it is the belief that Israel is the chosen of God and that the land of Israel has been promised to them, as we say in the scripture, the promised land. So a Zionist, if you will, who marked everybody from a Jewish person in Israel to who Dr. King was, is a Zionist, is someone who advocates for that very thing, believing that Israel, the Jewish people, have a right to their homeland, have a right to live in peace in their homeland. I would also say to people that we're seeing this miraculous thing, if you've follow the news, what's called the Abraham Accords, which was started about 2 years ago during the Trump administration and continues on now. We are seeing Israel make peace with Arab neighbors that have been hostile to Israel since 1948 and the reestablishment of the Jewish homeland. We know that God is the one who's behind that. We know that ultimate peace will come when the Prince of Peace comes. Amen. But we also know that we are called to be peacemakers. We are called to do what we can here by the aid of the Holy Spirit to bring peace, because peace is what allows people to prosper, for their families to grow, for them to provide for them. Because when there's this instability and war, not only obviously is the killing and destruction, but families can't come together and be prosperous and be strong. So absolutely, we see this happening even now. And the organizations that are attempting to see that come to fruition, again, please support them. Yes, sir.
Okay. Our time is just about gone. Would you take a moment now to pray specifically for believers to really see the wisdom behind mobilizing their hearts and their lives to really come alongside and support Israel?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Father, we bless your name and we thank you for this opportunity on the prayer call with Pastor Joseph, God, and this joining with believers who are listening from all over. And you did indeed tell David to tell us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You did indeed tell the psalmist to tell us to rejoice over what you do in Zion. And even us, God, as believers, you called us sons and daughters of Zion, God. We are residents of your holy city. So I pray that now, as is happening in the body all over the world, more and more of an awareness and a consciousness about both the Jewish roots of our faith and about the need for our love for and praying for the peace of Jerusalem and praying for the Jewish people. So I pray that you would continue to do that very thing, God, that we would continue to love you and love your appearing, as Paul said, and that we would continue to pray for your holy city, pray for Israel, pray for the Jewish people. We pray that, God, that we, as we come more and more to knowledge of the fact that our faith comes out of the Jewish faith, right? We recognize, God, that we thank you so much, as Paul said to the Jewish people, have been given the prophets and then the covenants and those things that you entrusted to Israel. And from generation to generation, they pass them down. We thank you that we have the word of God because you gave it to all the Israelite prophets and the writers, God. So now us as believers in Jesus, followers of you, God, we pray that you would strengthen us and cause us to not only understand, but to do what we can to strengthen Zion, God. And you said to bless Zion, God, even in your good pleasure. And we bless you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, amen. Pastor Washington. And of course, as we normally do before the end of the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never made that all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day to be saved, a wonderful day to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you would like to make that all-important step, would you simply pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much. that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you would have me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live for you my whole life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please do email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd very much like to hear from you, like to share with you some literature and information that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope you'll do that. Pastor Washington, would you share the website one more time for IBSI?
Absolutely, everyone. Please go to IBSI-now.org. IBSI-now.org. That stands for Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. And you can get all of the information and follow our work there.
All right. Pastor Washington, thank you so much for being with us today.
No problem. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. Appreciate you having me on today.
All right. Please pray much for Pastor Washington and the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.